For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Paul and Marriage, as we pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
So we turn now in our Bibles to the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians. The Corinthian church was a mess. There were just a lot of problems. A problem with carnality. There were divisions in the church. Some saying they were of Cephas or Peter. Others saying they were of Paul. Some saying they were of Apollos. They were suing each other at law, going to the earthly courts. And Paul had received the report, and so he wrote to them about these things. But basically, his purpose of writing was to answer a letter that they had sent to him with certain questions. And so Paul, beginning with chapter 7, is responding now to their letter and the questions that they had asked in their letter to him. Now, it is important that we understand really the background of this situation in Corinth. Corinth was an extremely pagan city. On the Acropolis above Corinth, there was a great temple to Aphrodite. And the temple priestesses would come down into Corinth each evening. They were prostitutes. And the worship of the goddess was supported by the earnings of the prostitutes. In this city, God had many people. For when Paul was there in Corinth, the Lord encouraged him and said, I have many people in this city. And so Paul established the church there. But as I say, the church was a mess. They had a lot of weird kind of teachings, doctrines that had spread. They felt that the body was completely evil. And so that left a twofold kind of an attitude. First, there were those who said, because the body is totally evil, it doesn't matter what you do with your body. Your body doesn't count. It's your spirit that counts. So you can do with your body whatever you want. It doesn't matter. You can use your body for fornication or whatever you desire. The body is totally evil anyhow, so it doesn't matter what you do with your body. Others, coming from that same base, that the body is totally evil, said you shouldn't then do any of those natural things in the body. Even if you're married, you should restrain from relations with your wife, because everything of the body is evil. All of the urges or desires or whatever are evil. And so there was the second tendency towards asceticism. And so Paul is dealing here, beginning in chapter 7, with this concept of whether or not, as a Christian, I should be married, or if I am married, I should have intimate relationships with my wife. And so he begins the seventh chapter by saying, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." Trying to live a celibate life is unnatural, and Paul recognizes it as such. Good if you can not to touch a woman. But yet, that is an unnatural condition. Therefore, every man should have a wife and every wife should have a husband. It is interesting that nothing is ever said in the scripture about Paul being married. But I feel that he obviously was. Number one, he was a rabbi. And according to Jewish law, every man should be married and have children because God said, "Be fruitful and multiply." And they felt that that was a divine injunction that every man should fulfill. And that if you did not have children, you were killing, actually, your progeny. So being a rabbi, and as he said, though, as concerning the righteousness of the law, I was blameless, he no doubt was married. Also, it is indicated that he was a member of the Sanhedrin, and a requirement of the Sanhedrin, who was a judge of sorts, was that he be married, because they figured if a man is married, he is more merciful. I think he at least has greater understanding. Now, the question arises, what happened to Paul's wife? And there are two speculations, one that she died. But the other, which is probably more correct, is that when Paul embraced Christianity, she left him. That's the general tradition that is carried through the church. Now, the seventh chapter here is written with an overlying thought, which he brings out in verse 29, and that is, time is short. Paul felt that the Lord was coming very, very soon. And so because time is short, he is giving these instructions concerning marriage. It would seem to be that he is discouraging getting married. But if so, it is only because of his concept that time is so very short, we really don't have time to get married. But to avoid fornication, every man should have his own wife, every woman should have her own husband, especially in the conditions that existed there in Corinth. And let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. For the wife has not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband has not the power of his own body, but the wife. Therefore, do not withhold the sexual rights from each other, unless it be with consent for a time, that you might give yourselves to fasting and prayer, but then come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. So Paul is here declaring that the sexual relationships within marriage are proper, and that the wife should seek to satisfy the husband should seek to satisfy the wife, and that you should not withhold from each other unless it be by a mutual consent, And then only in a specified period of time as you're giving yourself to fasting and praying, because the temptations are apt to be too great. The pressure's too great on each other. He says, but I speak this by permission and not by commandment. For I would that all men were even as myself. But every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. So I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it's good for them if they abide even as I. Now, Paul, of course, at this point was unmarried. And he is advocating his status of not being married. But he recognizes that there is a gift of God, in a sense, for this position. Now, Jesus talked about those who were eunuchs by birth. Some were called of God for this. Others became such for the kingdom of God's sake. But Paul, having that gift and recognizing that it was something that God had done, because the normal, natural, physical drives promote marriage. It is not natural not to have a sex drive. It's the fourth strongest drive that we have, following the air thirst and hunger. It ranks right there near the top. And if a person doesn't have a strong sex drive, it means that perhaps God has taken it away in order that this person might be a special instrument for God, freed from the, well, as Paul said, from the cares that come upon a person when they get married. Marriage does present a whole different situation. Before I was married, I could travel freely across the United States. All I needed was a sack of apricots and I could go. I only stopped at service stations for gasoline. Never stopped at restaurants. And when I was going, I liked to just get there. After I got married, became different. We were coming home from Phoenix, and my wife says, honey, I'd like to have a cup of coffee. And I kept going past the coffee shops. Said, honey, I'd like to have a cup of coffee. Sure, well, of course. Who wouldn't, you know? And I went by another coffee shop, and boy, I felt her foot go on the floor like had she had a break there, I would have been thrown through the windshield. I got the message. We stopped at a coffee shop, but that's a waste of time. But as Paul said, if you're married, you don't really care so much for the things of the Lord anymore. You care for your wife, how you're going to please her. You got to live with her. And thus you want to please her. Proper, that's correct. So Paul says, look, if you have the gift, it's good. Live like I do. For the unmarried, the widows, stay like I am. But if you don't have this gift, that it's better that you marry than to have a burning compassion or a burning lust, than to burn with lust. Now unto the married I command, and yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. This, of course, was the teaching of Jesus Christ. So Paul said, this is not my command, it's the Lord's. But to the rest, I will speak. Now, the Lord didn't speak specifically in these issues, so now Paul speaks as an apostle. But to the rest, I speak, and not the Lord, dealing now with the special situations. If a brother has a wife that does not believe, and she's content to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And if the woman which has a husband that believes not, and if he is pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. So either the husband or the wife, believing, bring into the home a holy environment by which the children are covered. Many times I am questioned as to the fate of children who die. Or more often, the question arises if the church is raptured, or when the church is raptured, will the little children all go up in the rapture? I can speak for surety on the children of a saved parent, either one or both, that they are protected and covered by the believing parent. I do not have that same surety where the parents are unbelievers. I personally feel that because they are not at an age of responsibility, God will be gracious and merciful unto them. And I believe strongly in the justice and the fairness of God. Though I do not have a sound scriptural base, I do not have any scripture that says, yes, all children are going to go up in the rapture, or all children who die are saved. We do know that it is so if there is a believing husband or wife. Now, my feeling is, why live under the cloud of a question? Why even worry about it? Just receive the Lord and know. But we do know, as far as a believing parent, the house is sanctified by either one being a believer. But if the unbelieving depart, let them depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. So if on your receiving Jesus Christ, your husband or your wife just can't handle you anymore, they say, look, I didn't bargain for this. I can't stand you. I can't live with you like this. Then let them depart. You're not under bondage. You're not under the bondage to remain with them in such cases. Let them depart. God has called us to peace, not to warfare in marriage. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband, or how do you know, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so I ordain in all of the churches. Now he deals with, what condition were you in when God called you? Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Therefore, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. When God saved you, were you an uncircumcised Gentile? Then don't bother about going through the Jewish rite of circumcision. Remain as you were when God called you. Now, if you were a servant when God called you, don't worry about it. If you can be free, then use your freedom rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Now, you may still be a servant as far as man is concerned, but as far you're free now and you're God's free man. Also, he that is called being free becomes Christ's servant. So, the calling wherein I was called, abide in that calling. Don't try to change things radically after you've become a Christian, unless the life that you were living, the occupation that you had, is so totally antagonistic towards Christian principles that you've got to get out.
Get ready for a grand adventure through God's Word. Join Pastor Chuck Smith as he brings the story of the Ten Commandments to life in a way your kids will never forget. Travel alongside Moses as he receives the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Pastor Chuck highlights key moments from Moses' journey and explains why God's rules matter for us today. Each commandment is simply explained with real-life applications that kids will understand and remember. And as a special gift, this book includes an audio CD featuring Pastor Chuck, plus incredible voice talent like Pancho Juarez as Moses and Ken Graves as the voice of God, and many, many more. Children love stories, and this is your chance to plant God's Word deep in their hearts through timeless Bible storytelling. Order the story of the Ten Commandments today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD.
May the Lord enrich you in all good things in Christ Jesus. May he fill you with the knowledge of his love and his grace. And may you walk in fellowship with him through the week. And may the Lord continue his work in your life as he draws you unto himself, as he cleanses you through his word, as he fits you and prepares you for that work that he would have you to do in touching the needy world around you. God bless you, and God strengthen you, and keep you ever in his love and in his will. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 1 Corinthians on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 1 Corinthians 7. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the
program. program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.